Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the new. A new song wants to come forth through ourselves, through our relations, and our creations and co-creations. Welcome on this auspicious day. My name is Hanalee, and I'm truly delighted to be here with you today and to spend this time with you and exploring how we can unlock the genius of co-creative relationships. As it's such an auspicious day, let's just take a deep breath to calm our nervous system down, to become present and available, to ground ourselves. And to be open to whatever is to come. And as always, take the good and leave the rest. To start off our play today, let's rub our hands together. And let's create a bit of a spark. Because a similar spark is being created when we intentionally co-create with others. It's not the same as just working together with others. There is intentionality that stems from the core of our being, from our soul. So as you're rubbing your hands, just become aware of the warmth that's been created between them. And gently put your hand on your heart. And just notice what happens when you feel your own heartbeat. And take a few deep breaths as you're touching your own heart. And gently close your eyes. For a moment, I just want you to use your imagination and stretch it as far as possible. While you're feeling the rhythm of your heart, you realize that your heart is beating approximately 100,000 times a day, which accounts to 40 million times a year. And if we live till we're 70 years old, it supplies pumping capacity for almost 3 billion cardiac pulsations and propels more than 2 gallons of blood per minute through our bodies. Now just imagine the awe and magnificence of this happening inside of us. As it happens completely spontaneous, we don't have to do anything. And the magic is when we are connected to our hearts and when we deeply connect with others, as if there is trillions, infinite amount of filaments between our hearts and their hearts. On some level, we connect very deeply. Just think of the awe about it, just for a moment. Breathe into it, 100,000 times a day. Trillions of filaments between your heart and those you are connecting deeply with. Now, I would like to invite you to remember the excitement and exhilaration that you felt as a child when you're invited to attend a friend's party or when you heard the circus is coming to town. This is way before the time of technology. That curiosity, that enthusiasm. What do you think happened in our hearts? This beat definitely went up a bit. And what happened in our imagination, more importantly? well, we couldn't wait to come and see what's going to happen at this party. Who's going to be there? We wanted to look and see what will happen. And we want to feel this as well as children, because we're so spontaneous and playful and innocent as children. So today, I would like you to go into that same feeling, that excitement, that exhilaration, as if you are invited to a children's party and you're like 6 years old. Come and look and see what will happen today, so that you can go and tell others. Allow yourself to deeply and feel and deeply listen to what's being shared. With the same curiosity and excitement for the new, for the unknown. So for a while we can just put down all our opinions and our preconceived ideas and be enchanted. Let's go back to our hearts. You can keep one hand on the heart while you're listening if you want to. We all know people who are just nice to be with. It's just awesome to be with them. And it's as if we are coming to alive when we're with them and in their presence. Some makes us feel empowered. Others might make us feel that we can climb the highest mountain or cross the biggest desert. Others might make us feel to come out of our shells. And others might make us laugh and playful and lighthearted. And yet others might mean making us feel safe and nurtured, understood. So just for a moment, I would like to invite you to call up such a human being, somebody that really inspires you, that you know personally, that you have met. So it's not just an inspirational figure. And I'd like you to go into the feeling. When you call up this person, create a picture of them in your mind. And then I want you to go into the feeling of what you feel when you connect to this person. What's happening inside of you? So it's not so much more about them, but it's about you when you are in their presence. What's happening with you? What's happening in your body? Does it become warm, expansive, tingly, goosebumps? Yes, maybe go a bit deeper. What images come up in your mind when you think of them? Now, there's one person that I know, it's a friend of mine, and whenever I'm with her, I just go into this gentleness. She's so gentle. Like a feather, light as a feather. And another friend, when I'm with him, we're just very playful, we're like children. So like we're climbing trees and things like that. And then there's yet another friend who evokes deep joy, but a deep joy from within. So we all have people like that. So call them up, go deeper into what image comes up. It could be a feeling. You could hear a sound, you can associate it to a flavor or a fragrance. And now go even deeper into it. Sense into it. Does it have a texture, a shape, or is it just a yummy awareness? Perhaps it's overflowing joy, appreciation, or perhaps peace. Just notice that what's happening with your heart as all of this is coming through you. As you connect deeper and deeper consciously with this person, as if they are next to you. One way of looking at what's possibly happening is that you share not only this deep connection, which is heart-based, that makes you come alive, but also a resonant field. And even more so, values of being. Chances are good that you share the same values of being. Otherwise, you will not have felt so close and this joy and this exhilaration that's caused when you connect to this person. They are just mirroring something about yourself to you in some way. Otherwise, you won't resonate with them. And at our core, it is the value of being that's important, which we connect with to others, when we let go of all the judgments, opinions, and projections. Now, if I were to ask you to call up a person that repulsed you, you will not have the same experience. And you guys probably would want to run for good. And you don't want to even be reminded of this person, let alone do something with them. Now, Confucius once said, whether in charge of a government, or being a hermit, or keeping quiet, or making comments, when two people become one in their hearts, they are as sharp as a knife that is able to cut iron. They cherish the same idea and follow the same path. Their words and words are like the perfume and fragrance of orchids. And a very interesting thing happens when this is manifesting itself. The universe is starting to conspire to whatever they want to co-create to make that happen. So all the forces in the universe start working together to make this happen. When we deeply connect with others, when we share values of being, a container is created that we call a relationship. And yes, it's a ship. And this ship needs to leave the harbor. And if we want to resonate with this container, it gives us the opportunity and the context where we can have the ability to express ourselves freely and fully without any limits. But it also gives us infinite possibilities for creativity, vision, expansion, growth, adventure, and transformation. Now, the word context means to weave together. And we have to make a decision of whether we want to use this container called this relationship to co-create and weave something amazing together or not. You see, we have a choice. We can just deeply connect with somebody and that's it. We're not taking it any further. But that's really a big waste. Because it's not just everybody that we really deeply connect to. And once we make a decision to make this ship leave the harbor and shore, we're able to access the genius that hides within this relationship. There is a special treasure hiding in the cargo of this ship. It's unlike other ships. So what exactly is this genius? Now, you believe that when two personalities meet, it is like the contact of two chemical substances. And if there's a reaction, both are transformed. But you see, there's more happening. They create a third substance, a third energy. And the same happens with two waves of sound or light. They form a new composite wave. And if we combine vectors, or the direction of two forces moving together at different angles, they combine a new vector. A new force and direction. And the same applies to two or more people whose energies come together. It's like six people singing in a choir and they're creating a seventh sound. A different song comes through them. And working together as a unit, two or more people combine their energies to form a new composite energy, usually different and greater than the sums of the parts. And if they choose to work this energy in a positive way, magic is possible. You'll see later what happens is we open up our new cortex and frontal cortex of our brain to really access infinite possibilities in the collective consciousness. In such true partnerships, people retain their individuality even as they unite. Yet, there is a clear understanding what this relation is about. And they have the intention and openness to see what can flow from this relation. And they know that there's a possibility to co-create. But it's all dependent on the choices they make. And these choices are equally fulfilling. And it does not serve only one person's agenda or motive. They are ready to move. They're really ready to leave the harbor and to go to an unknown destination. They're ready to co-intend, co-create, co-envision, shape, hold, actualize, and allow a potent shared vision to flow and expand. But for a moment, if you just think of three glasses of water in front of you. And to the second glass, you add colorant. And to the third glass, you add colorant and a flavorant. You're changing the chemical structure of the water by adding different things to it. And that's the same thing that happens when two or three people come together and really deeply resonate. They create this third substance. And it's also much like the tango dance. One holds the space and the other leads. But there's a relationship, a deep understanding and trust between these two people, an awareness between them, and a rhythm that they share, which if they didn't have it, they wouldn't be able to move coherently. But the most interesting part is they choose the movement that they will synchronistically co-create and follow. They move freely in this space that they are co-creating. There are no limits at all for expression and for movement. But it's very, very different from the traditional scenarios where people work for others, or where we employ people to fill a gap, or where we have a dream and we're just looking for people to do certain parts for us, but they actually share nothing of our vision or our values of being. The intention, and there's an organization at play that's not the agenda of the person who's participating. There is hardly ever internal vision in such cases, or external equilibrium. It's mostly outcome and expectation based. And it's filled with control, manipulation, threats, projections, unrealistic targets, codependent, oppressive, compromising, limiting relations. Whereas when we move to a co-creative relation, it's one is in integrity. There is sense of pride to be in integrity. There is expansiveness, flow, deep trust, allowing, deep understanding, honesty, respect, compassion, courage, creativity, meaningfulness, and very, very fulfilling. Here is more about the experience to co-create than the outcome. There is no one fixed outcome here in a co-creative relationship. We're able to switch between leading, holding the space, following, blending, and releasing. Now for a moment, if I asked you to just go back into your heart space again, to remember the person you like to be with so much, or someone that you share a value of being with. From that space, just notice and listen carefully how it feels to lead yourself in that space. It Then, how does it feel to follow yourself in that space? How would it feel for you to hold the space while you're in that space? To blend and to release. Whenever I ask people to do this, it's not that easy, is it? Because it's for ourselves. We need to lead ourselves. We need to follow ourselves, not others. And in a co-creative relationship, we actually play and dance between these specific roles of not only leading ourselves, but others, and then following ourselves and following others, being the blender, being the holder of the space, and also be responsible for releasing it into the wide world out there. You see, it's regardless of functional input or role. So we open ourselves up to much more when we're involved in co-creative relationships. That's part of the genius. So what are these values of being? Now, Maslow spoke about us reaching these B values during peak experiences and times of self-actualization. Now, they're not only available during peak experiences, because when we live these B values, every moment is a peak experience. So we can't really put it in on a pedestal. Now, in Maslow's view, examples of these values of beings are truth, beauty, goodness, fairness, simplicity, richness, wholeness, self-sufficiency, uniqueness, effortlessness, significance, transcendence, humor, playfulness. So for a moment, I'd like to invite you to close your eyes. To take a slow, deep breath. And listen deeply and feel into another way that represents values of being. There are many. And just notice, as you listen deeply into them, feeling into them, what images come up, what sensations come up in your body, how do you feel about each? Strength. Wisdom, clarity, love, beauty, will. Certainty, compassion, forgiveness, authenticity, essence. The deeper we go into values of being, the more access we have to our other cognitive abilities. And we have access to our neocortex and frontal cortex in our brain, which really house our consciousness and our link to the collective consciousness and our imagination. And that is something that we really need when we are going into co-creative relationships and when we want to actualize our dreams and visions. Now just imagine what would be possible if you get together with someone who has a similar linear theme or a complementary one, and you now put these two together. Let's take clarity and certainty. That is a lethal combination. Why do I say lethal? Because when we want to manifest and actually something, we actually really need to be clear in our minds and certain in our hearts. So if we have these values of being between two of us, just imagine what we can actually then manifest in the real world. There are actually no limits to this. What can be possible? And when this happens, life wants to sing a particular song through us. If you take this combination, it's powerful. Just think of it. A symphony and a melody wants to be sung through you, two of you, or if there's more of you, share similar ones. But the opposite is also very intriguing, because just think of it. When your value of being is fairness, and someone wants to partner with you or work with you who doesn't have the same value system, who exploit others for selfish purposes, how is it possible for you to co-create and to create a third substance where you can possibly use this energy? Because it's like two trains going in different directions, and you don't even meet at any station. And yes, you can work with something like that, but that's not co-creation. And when you do work with something like that, you most probably will encounter unnecessary obstacles and challenges, because you're not in alignment with your values of being. And it will be more like a cacophony than a melody that's being created. And someone is always compromising. When we share values of being, an entire resonance field opens up to us, with unlimited potential and flow. Things are working, things are not stuck, if we really submit to this flow. But for us to really endeavor into such co-creative relations, where we start creating this first juicy substance, which has its own possibilities, we have to make a decision. And so many things influence our decision-making process. One such aspect is where we find ourselves in terms of our personal development, as it directly influences how we make decisions. And this is also, again, just one view of it. It's one way of presenting it. There are many other ways. Say, for instance, in your process, it's all about self, self-expression, being and doing, and achieving life, joy. Remember, there's no right nor wrongs here. It's just as it is. Or perhaps, if it's for you, all about community. It's about the cooperative, communal continuity in life. And it's all about connection and support. Here it's about nurturing and working together with others. So it's about relationships and cooperation. Or on the negative side, it could be about isolation and fragmentation. Or is it about creative metamorphosis? Now, what does that mean? It's about individual impact and empowerment on an individual level. So you move up from self to the individual. And here it's all about empowering and creating. Centeredness and creativity. And on the negative side, selfishness and chaos. Or it is all about humanity and global realization, about mastery and sharing, about guiding and exploring, where it's about service and fulfillment versus dissatisfaction and desire. Now, if I am all for humanity and global realization, that's my bigger purpose that I'm working towards, and somebody else is in the process of self, of individualizing self and individuating self, well, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's where the person is. We will see life very differently. And then to co-create together, we'll have very different agendas, because the one is internally focused and the other one is externally focused. So how on earth can we co-create together? And that's why we need to be very careful when we partner with others and when we work with others to realize where they are. And when we're aware of it, it's good, then we can work with it. It's not to say we can't work with them, but then we at least know what it's about, because it will manifest in our encounters and the decisions we make together. If we look at it from another angle, our decisions and actions and behaviors are also directly influenced by how we see life. Some people see life as a hostile place, where it's about good and bad, right and wrong, and then you always have to protect and defend yourself. Others see life as a war zone. There is all about competition. We have to win this war. So there's always about fighting, struggling. Others see life as a friendly place which contains lots of patterns, and when you start noticing the patterns, you can learn from it. Others see life as, yes, a friendly place, but it's also a benevolent, abundant place which is unfolding by itself. Now, somebody who sees life like that and somebody who sees life as a hostile place will not see eye to eye. So that's why it's very difficult for them to really work together and to really mine the potential of the two energies that comes together. So the more we become cognizant of this, the more we open ourselves up to possibilities. Now, the Barrier Center did a great paper on the six modes of decision making. And I just want to touch on them and to go a little bit deeper into three of them. Now, first is the instinct-based decision making, which is based on survival and it's linked to our reptilian brain. It reacts immediately. There's no thinking involved. Then there's subconscious-based decision-making. And here it's based on past experiences. And again, there's no pause for reflection, immediate reaction, and there's no thoughts involved. It's just action-based. The thoughts come later. And then when we move from there to conscious-based decision-making, that's when we take a pause to really reflect on what is happening. And here we also allow others' advice, and we search for others' advice, and we start using logic and reasoning. And then there's value-based decision-making. And the shift from conscious-based to value-based is not that simple. Because here, we have to individuate and develop a self-authoring mind before we can make this leap. What does individuate mean? It means we establish ourselves at transformational level of consciousness. We need to become viable and independent in our own framework of existence before we can actually access this value-based decision-making process fully and naturally. The reason why this shift from conscious-based to value-based decision-making requires individuation is that prior to individuation, we make meaning of our will through our beliefs. And these beliefs, we just mentioned a few of them, for instance, so after our place, the world is a war zone. These are just examples of, there's many other belief systems that influence ourselves prior to individuation. And most of these beliefs have to do with our personal and cultural upbringing and conditioning. We inherited these. It didn't come through experience. The process of individuation involves examining these beliefs and letting go of the ones that are not serving us. And for that, we need to be present and available. And we have to make the time. As we let go of these beliefs, we develop a new guidance system, which is based on our deeply held values. Values of being are the universal guidance system of the soul. Every decision you make is sourced by what is deeply meaningful to you. It allows us to create a future that resonates deeply with who we really are. It creates the conditions that allow authenticity and integrity to flourish. There's no compromise. This is not to say that there is no place for conscious decision making, such as logic and rational thinking. There is, however, all critical decisions should pass through the values of being test. Thought always precedes action. We reflect on the values we believe that will allow us to get our needs met and make decisions accordingly. Decisions are not based on past experiences. They are based on the future that we want to co-create and create. We are in control of our own actions and behaviors. We can consult others and get their support and enhancements on our decision-making process. We are open-minded. We make value-based decisions so we can consciously co-create the future we want to experience. You see, unlike in subconscious and instinct-based decision-making, we are not open-minded. We are very closed-minded and rigid. And for example, if we use the value test, then we can make a decision that allows us to display trust. So for instance, if we had a value of accountability, then we make decisions that allow us to display accountability. So we create the resonance field, the playground for that to happen. Now the shift from value-based decision-making to intuition-based decision-making develops over time once the center of gravity of our consciousness has shifted from our egos to our souls. Intuition adds from the deepening of our connection to our souls. It arises from there. This is one of the attributes of a self-transforming mind. We reach this level of consciousness after we have completed our own internal cohesion and have become a self-actualized individual. It allows us to access our own deeper intelligences and the collective intelligence of a wider group. Awareness is expanded through a shift in our sense of identity and consciousness. Judgment is suspended. No meaning takes place here, either consciously or subconsciously. The mind is completely empty. Thoughts, beliefs, and agendas are suspended. The mind is free to make a deep dive into the mind space of the collective unconscious and merge with a deeper sense of knowing. The thoughts that arise reflect wisdom and are in alignment with our most deeply held values and our soul. Here there is no subconscious or conscious attempting to make meaning, and there is no focus on the past or the future. You accept what is without judgment. The intuitive decision arises out of your presence in the current moment. Beliefs lead to decision-making based on past experiences. Values lead us to decision-making based on positive feelings we want to experience now and in the future. When we are totally present to a situation without judgment, We create the conditions that allow us and our mind to tap into the collective mind space, which is so vast, and our intuition informs us what it wants and needs, and what wants and needs to emerge. Now, inspiration is the way we receive soul-based promptings into our minds. Inspiration is always very personal and direct. It's about what we need to do. It's a persistent thought that will not go away, or it's the next step we need to take in a soul-centered activity. It will keep prompting us to take action until we actually do something about it. The purpose of inspiration is to support us in fulfilling our soul purpose. Inspiration is different from intuition. Intuition is non-directive. It's an idea or an insight that comes actually from nowhere at any specific moment that produces and provides a solution to a specific situation or problem. It can best be discovered as an described as an eureka moment, an aha moment. An aha moment really happens when we cross from the left and right brain, vice versa. We use both, we become lateral. Whereas inspiration is best described as guidance from staying in a state of flow. When we keep receiving a soul-based persistent thought about an action or direction we need to take, and we don't follow this directive, there will be eventually an emotional consequence, usually in the form of depression. Depression arises from a lack of alignment between our ego motivation with our soul motivation. When the needs of the ego are given precedence over the needs of the soul over a long period of time, we will begin to feel the symptoms of melancholy and depression. The thought arises out of nowhere. It is persistent. It is linked to actions that we need to take. There are consequences if we don't follow our inspiration. We deny our soul. Now, these six modes of human decision-making are evolutionary support systems that have evolved to protect the integrity of the body, the ego, and the soul. Each mode is tailored to enable us to handle increasing levels of complexity in the world around us and enhance our ability to respond and not react. But clearly, as you can see, if somebody mostly operates out of the value-based, intuitive-based, inspiration-based decision-making process, how difficult it will be to co-create with somebody who mostly responds from a subconscious mind and instinctive-based decision-making process. It can be very challenging. So if we go a little bit deeper, as we move through these six stages that we just mentioned, our mode of operation shifts from a socialized mind to a self-offering mind to a self-transforming mind. As babies, we relied on instinct of our bodies, and it helps us to survive. As young children, we rely on subconscious beliefs of our socialized mind to help us stay safe and stable by learning how to conform. And as older children, we rely on subconscious and conscious beliefs of our socialized mind to navigate the world we live in, and we start to differentiate ourselves from others. As adults, we rely on conscious beliefs and values of our self-authoring mind to individuate, and we begin to step in our authentic self. As mature adults, we rely on values and conscious beliefs of our self-offering mind to self-actualize and become who we are. As soul-infused adults, we rely on the values and intuition of our self-transforming mind. And here we really access the superconsciousness to integrate with others who share similar values and common vision. As the elders, we learn intuition and inspiration of our self-transforming minds to serve humanity. So he links into those levels of consciousness we spoke earlier about, whether it's about self, community, the individual, or humanity. And these affect what we'll be able to co-create and what we'll be able to see, because otherwise we can't access our imagination properly. Because our opinions, judgments, and projections, and point of views, and belief systems keep us hostage. So how do we move from there? So if we start to understand what where we play, and those in our sphere of contact, in our sphere of creation, and working together with where they play, quite significant facts comes from that. So I'd like to share something that Ben Zandler shares about enrollment, because when we show up by immersing ourselves in the experience of being open and receptive to what comes, we open ourselves to enrollment. We give ourselves as a possibility to others and to the world, and we are ready in turn to catch the spark that's been created by others. And we play together as partners in a field of light and possibility. We are willing to be moved and inspired, and we're also ready to participate and share what lights us up. And we have no doubt that others want to catch our spark. When we're ready for enrollment in life, everybody is our next best friend. Everybody has a message for us. That message might help us, you know, whatever we want to manifest and actualize our dreams and visions. It becomes the frame for possibility. And the best thing about it, a vision, or the framing of a possibility, is to become it and to embody it, to be it. James Redfield said it so beautifully. Those people who are have the intention to evolve a certain occupation field in the world will incarnate and gravitate to one another to actually work together in this chosen field, to evolve this chosen field. Now, when we want to actualize our dreams and really use the genius of co-creative relationships, that third energy, something that we also have to realize is that we are not all the same. For instance, some of us like to come up with visions and ideas, or that's our ability. Others are there to give us strategic advice on what's needed to make this possible on a very high level. Others like to break it down into detailed tasks and become like a project manager. And then there's other people who actually will fill roles for us. They are the doers. Now, the doers and the visionaries don't like form. They like freedom. And the strategists and the project managers, they lack form, they need structure. They don't like freedom. They need to be told what to do. And if we look at visionaries and strategists, they look at the bigger picture. Whereas the project manager type person and the doer don't care about that. They need detail. That's what they thrive on. So when we have this great vision, we will need these people, because yes, some of us can do all of them, but we don't have the capacity. We can reach so many more people if we actually start co-creating with others in this way. And this is called the power circle. It's just one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is like we're baking a cake. And everyone is a different ingredient. And every ingredient has its own purpose, like baking powder. And eggs and milk and flour and butter and the icing and the sprinkles on top. So we want to bake a cake. That's our vision. So we need these other energies to create this wonderful cake. And it goes much deeper than the functional. Because there's firstly this resonant field that must be kept alive, and somebody that must hold the space for us. Purely that. And the wonderful thing about that It doesn't take any energy. It's effortless. We just tune in and we provide good energy. We hold the space. For others, they might be there just to hold our vision, help us hold and embody our vision. Others to really actualize it, to help us actualize it. And there are many ways to do this. There's support, there's encouragement, there's understanding, there's assistance, there's guidance, there's protection. And this happens on different levels, like spiritual, emotional, physical, mental support, energetic support. Because we bring in an energy when we do something together, when we co-create something. And we really should take time to see what this energy is about, that we're going to co-create together, so that there can be complete internal cohesion and external equilibrium. And something that I always find very interesting is the penguin. The female lays the egg, the male sits on the egg to keep it warm, and she goes out hunt for food. So she goes to look for opportunities. And when the chick is born, the baby penguin recognizes the mother straight away, because she laid the egg. So we shouldn't be scared, because I know there's a lot of fear that when we start delegating and doing things together like this, that we will lose the essence of our dream. But that's where deep trust and deep listening comes in. Because it's all possible. So what else can we do to really mind the genius of co-creative relationships, to get to this third energy, to really start using it, and to allow it to flow out in whatever way it wants to flow? Now the first thing is to pause, to really spend time to discover our values of being, and then to make it in a statement. For instance, if my value of being is strength, to make it in a statement, I am strength. And then to make it my morning affirmation, my evening affirmation, to put it into my shower, to see it wherever I am strength. To start really embodying it, that strength. And then to take this time to really examine our current relations and our motives behind those relations. And to be as honest as possible, it's not about judgment, it's purely noticing, seeing what's in front of us. To also examine our deepest connections and to notice whether we are actually doing something about them or not. And to, in all these relations, to start looking for whether we share values of being. That's the first good step. Then, to take the time, this is the more courageous one, to start looking at our beliefs and opinions that are not serving us any longer, or our dream, or our vision, and to release them. And there are many techniques on how to do this. And to really go deep into our, to just go and have a look, like a little life review of how we make decisions. Where do we get stuck? Is it emotional patterns or is it mindset? And if we don't know how to release these mindset and emotional patterns, to get the help to do that, there are many different techniques to do that. What fears are withholding us to actually actualize our visions and dreams and to deeply connect with others? The other thing I would like to invite you to do is to start using your other cognitive abilities and the other intelligences that are available to you, like your body's intelligence, your kinesthetic body, your feeling body. Feel into things, intuit, see what images comes up, sense into things, what sensations come up in the body. And we need to realize that we need to be able to be fully available, present, willing, committed, and engaging, inter-exchanging, receptive, and being able to participate and be receptive, and open to be able to co-create with others, and to let go of our preconceived ideas and notions. Otherwise, we do not access our new cortex and prefrontal cortex. And when we do look at our belief system, our opinions, our current relations, how do they limit co-creation and flow? And what is the payoff? What are we compromising? And just start noticing how you react to life. Is it from the reptilian brain, which is purely reactive, or more from the neocortex and prefrontal lobes of the brain, where it's responsive? How do we act on our imagination? How do we use our imagination, if at all? Because these days, with the internet, all the information available with us, for us, television, we don't really need to use our imagination much. Do we still use it? How open are we to others' views? How open are we to the unknown? How willing are we to leave the harbor and to explore possibilities? And the possibilities of our relationships. Are we willing to give up those relations that not serving us anymore, or that not serving a purpose? How open are we to be deeply connected with others, to reveal all of ourselves, our glory? Are we available and open to enroll? What questions are we asking? And how do we feature on deep listening and deep feeling? Have we developed these skills? Are there perfect pictures that we must clear? What do I mean by perfect picture? It could be our own picture that we created, drawn on our life experience, and it's mostly limited. Or it could be life experience of unresolved emotional charges. Or it could be other people's perfect pictures that we are captured in, and that we've actually taken on as ourselves. You know, that thing of others have plans for your life? This is the type of pictures we're speaking about. So what really helps us? Be open to synchronicity, to look at the signs that's all around us. When we meet new people, you know, there's something that you need to hear from them that moment, and they from you. Asking open questions like, what wants to happen here? What wants to emerge from here? What creative impulse wants to come forth here? What are the possibilities? What wants to flow from here? And then the magic one, what else is possible? And then really start to identify those people that you deeply connect with. They might be in a different field. That's perfect. Which you resonate deeply. Contact them. Explore your relationship. See what values you share. And also explore possible co-creative endeavors. And start to create resonance fields and value fields around yourself. And see what flows from them with an open heart and an open mind. Have a beginner's mind. Now, Thomas Ryan said it so beautifully. When we allow ourselves to let go of what we know, to explore new frontiers, and to reframe the till now picture of our lives, amazing things unfold. So when we explore new frontiers, when we reframe that till now picture in our lives, magic happens. When we come and see, we open ourselves to the unpredictable. Reach levels deeper than the cognitive. And when we go into our heart space and we imagine all these filaments between ourselves and others that we deeply connect with, there's magic in it. We are able to co-create a space to enter our combined super consciousness. And we can do this for ideas, for direction, for exploration. You see, when we go into a state like that, we open and accepting, we are free and expressive, there's clarity and there's security, we're committed and creative, and we ground it. That's so awesome about it. So let's just go back to our heart space by rubbing our hands. Feel this spark between our hands. And for a moment, just let's go back to that B value, the values of being, just the one way we looked at them. Which one stood out for you? Beauty, will, forgiveness, compassion, strength, certainty, clarity, whichever one stood out for you. And now the question, what keeps you from living that with passion and dedication and from exploring ways to actually share that with others in co-creative relationships? No self-judgment, purely noticing. Because when we notice, we can start doing something about it. We can start making the soul-based decisions and not subconscious, emotional-based decisions or instinct-based decisions, which is merely created by lack. You see, when we look at relationships and they were started because of misery or any sense of lack of something, and we start evolving, they will disappear from our lives because they will have no purpose any longer. And to really tune into this third energy that the world is now offering us today from many different aspects, I'd like to invite you to close your eyes and to go on a little journey with me. I want you to imagine you are lying on the grass with your tummy open on the grass, and there's stars above you. It's evening, it's quiet and tranquil. Your forehead is touching the soil in front of you. I just want you to imagine you becoming aware of the earth, of Mother Earth, her rhythm, her smell, her texture. The grass might be tingling you on your tongue or your forehead soil. Just become aware of the earth and soil. And now it's like you're going into a journey to the center of the earth, to the core. And it's safe for you to go there. When you reach the core, there's this abundance of honey, richly juicy honey, a sense of abundance, nurturing, nourishment. And all of this honey, this nourishment, this abundance is available to you. And you can bring this all back up with you as you travel back to your body. And start to take slow deep breaths of breathing in this energy of honey, of abundance. It's gold, it's juicy, it's tingly, it's just yummy. Breathe it into your body through your belly. Sense of abundance, sense of nurturing. Sense of being taken care of. deep into your being, into your heart, all your 25 trillion cells, your neurons, your systems, your organs, your bones, your joints, your muscles, your ligaments, your heart, your core, your brain, your spine, everything is filled with this abundance of honey. There's always supply. And just rest in that sense that you are cared for, and there's always enough. And then imagine you're slowly turning around. Now you're lying on your back, and you're looking up in this vastness of the sky and the stars, the spaciousness, and you connect to the spatial intelligence, the vastness opening up. And all the possibilities it gives to you. And just sense into that connection with the sky and the spaciousness. And know that there's infinite co-creative relationships waiting for you out there, which will help you actualize your dreams and visions, which offers you opportunities to deeply connect with others. And to start weaving together in the context of these relationships. Which is mutually beneficial and fulfilling. When we are deeply connected with life and with others, and we feel nourished and safe, we have access to the spaciousness and all these opportunities. It's available to all of us. Breathe in this vastness. Open your arms out. Make yourself available to it. Become your values and live them. Live them passionately and with dedication. Communicate them as deeply as possible through all your daily interactions and activities. They will become like magnets to attract others who share resonant fields with you and who share values of being, who you can co-create together with. Have the courage to listen to your soul and to reveal all your goodness, greatness, genius, and glory. And step out, immerse yourself in each moment, share your deep self with the world. Carry home rights in the bone people, even pairs, any pairing, they would have been nothing more than people by themselves. But all together, they have become the heart, the muscles, and the mind of something brilliant and new, something strange and growing and great. And together, all together, they are the instruments of change. When we are inspired by some great purpose, some extraordinary project, all of our thoughts break their bonds. Our mind transcends limitations. Our consciousness expands in every direction. And we find within ourselves a new, great, and wonderful world. Dormant forces, faculties, and talents become alive. And we discover ourselves to be greater by far than we could ever imagine. And this is from Pachai. Thank you for sharing this experience with me. For the co-creator, it's about the experience and not about the outcome, because the outcome comes naturally. It's a choice. And if we really move from conscious to value-based decisions, and then intuitive, and then inspiration-based decisions, magic happens because we open up ourselves to collective field, which holds everything we need. And we start attracting those who share the deep same values of being, so that we can co-create together in a joyous way and live the abundant life that we came to live. I thank you. Next month, in April, we will do an online video class to give you some practical ideas on how to really co-create together, where we really go deeper into the imagination, start using techniques to expand our minds consciously, that we can really start mining this genius of co-creative relationships, because we just basically touched on it today. We would have spent at least another 2 hours if we had to go into all of that. So we would like to invite you to look out on our website, www.theinspirationgap.com, for this information next month about this online video interactive workshop. It will be a 2-hour workshop to give you more practical ideas on really how to co-create together and to really mine this genius, which is so juicy and which provides so much joy and abundance and opportunity. Thank you for being with us today, and we see you next month. Goodbye.